From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This week, our guest is NAPS Executive Vice President Chuck Mulladore. Chuck and I will be talking about some very recent and important legislative news, growing and deep congressional concern over the Postal Service performance shortfalls, particularly as we are in the midst of peak mail season, and NAPS's upcoming legislative conference in our nation's capital. Welcome back to NAPS Chat, Chuck.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Before we speak about what's happening in Washington, I know that as part of your resident office responsibilities, you have been visiting NAPS chapters throughout the country. What have you been hearing from our members out there?
Well, of course, it's peak season. That's always a concern. And just want to thank everybody for what they're doing and what they will do over the next several weeks to get all of these parcels delivered to America. And I know they will, because that's what we do. So I know that's a concern. I think there's concerns, too, about having enough employees to do the job. I have enough vehicles to get the mail delivered. You know, these are all legitimate concerns. It appears that not enough temporary employees were hired this year. There's not enough vehicles in the field. Very few were leased this year for some reason. So even with some of the, I would say, not good executive decisions made at L'Enfant Plaza to help our people deal with peak season, I'm extremely confident that they'll get it done like they always do, overcome all the obstacles like they always do, and we'll have another very successful peak season. So I think right now our EAS are preoccupied at all levels of the organization, whatever role they're in, plant, customer service, support positions, postmasters, obviously, all concerned, I think, a lot right now and focusing on peak and helping us get through there and be successful leading into the new year.
Last week, and let's go to Washington now. Last week,
do we have to?
We have to. We have okay. to. That's the reason we're here. Last week, the Senate Majority Whip, who also happens to be chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, mm-hmm. that is Dick Durbin of Illinois, introduced the legislative version of H.R. 3005, the Postal Police Reform Act. The Senate bill is referred to as S-3356, and it currently has 12 co-sponsors. Could you talk about the importance of the Senate introducing the bill and actually who introduced it?
I think it's extremely important. You know, we had the House bill introduced by Representative Garbarino on a bipartisan basis in the House, H.R. 3005, and we've been advocating for that. As you know, you and I heavily advocating for that on the Hill in a regular meetings with members of Congress and gain some decent support, some good support in the House. But we've been pushing for a companion bill in the Senate now for months. And we finally got Senator Durbin on board, chairs a Judiciary Committee where the bill will get referred to on committee. So that's good news for us. Introduced on a bipartisan basis with Senator Susan Collins from Maine, a long regarded champion of the Postal Service and the rights of the Postal Service over the years. So it's a great bill. What I'm most proud of with this Postal Police bill is it's a NAPS bill. This bill came out of our own desire to reverse what we consider a very poor policy decision by the Postal Service to take postal police officers off the street, doing what they had done for decades, and put them into their domicile facilities and reduce their levels of responsibilities. Now, I won't say the rise in postal crime is only attributed to that, but, you know, it's certainly been a factor. And having more law enforcement people on the street can only benefit our employees, EAS employees who have to close delivery units out in the evenings, for example. When it's dark out, they have to take the mail out and pull the gate closed, and they do that in the dark in areas that might not be the best areas to be. Carriers on the street delivering mail having been robbed of their keys and for their packages, and even clerks at the window being robbed by gunmen coming in and robbing that facility of stamps and money. So having the Postal Police available to do what they historically have done is a huge benefit to our employees, all of our employees. And I'm so proud that we took the lead in that, we being NAPS, we took the lead in sponsoring that, really on behalf of, I think, the Postal Police officers in New York and New Jersey, who kind of really brought this to our attention. And then seeing the damage that was being done by this very poor decision to pull the Postal Police officers off the street. So I think it's important. I think this, I always say that the bill's gaining legs. It's getting stronger. I think we have a very good chance to get it passed. I think that next year at LTS in March is going to be a huge focus of ours because it's an important bill. And I don't know how we can talk about safety in the Postal Service, which we know, for those of you that work there or who still work there, you know how important the safety culture is there. But how can we talk about safety if we don't have Postal Police officers out there protecting our employees on the streets and in our post offices? That's a true measure of safety. So I'm really proud of the bill that we've gotten in the House and the Senate. I think Senator Durbin did a great job in writing the bill and getting the support. I think Senator Collins has done a great job. So now the hard work begins. We got to get these two bills passed and reconciled. And I think we can do that. I really think that we can do that when we unleash the power of all of our members to get that done.
It's important to note that Susan Collins not only is the former chairperson of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, but she's currently the ranking Republican on the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Yes.
So she's no lightweight here.
No, absolutely not. And we appreciate her help and her support. And I will give you credit because you reached out to her amongst several other senators we had been talking to. And we met with several Republican senators looking for a good bipartisan sponsorship for Senator Durbin's bill. And your friendship and relationship with Senator Collins certainly helped get her attention to co-sponsor the bill. So it's a good bill. It can only do good things. And truly, if you're on the side of police officers and law and order, so to speak, and protecting postal employees, you've got to be for this bill. So we're going to work hard. I feel good about the opportunity to get it passed. And we'll unleash that power of our membership here shortly.
Let's talk about support for the bill for a moment. In addition to NAPS and the Postal Police Officers Association, the National Association of Police Organizations, which is comprised of state and local police entities throughout the country, sent an extraordinarily strong letter of support to each member of the Senate regarding that bill. How do you think their support will weigh on law enforcement order members of the House and the Senate?
I think it's huge. I think it's critical. That organization represents some 240,000 law enforcement personnel. 240,000. To line up behind a bill that supports the Postal Police, it's huge. It shows, I think, the solidarity among the ranks of law enforcement officers that understand what's at stake every day when they go out and they go to work. So I'm really appreciative to them. I'm appreciative to the Postal Police Officers Organization, the union that represents them. They've been a great partner with us, Frank Albergo, their president, a great partner with us in getting this legislation passed, introduced and hopefully passed. And now we need the other unions in the Postal Service to get behind it. I know Senator Durbin has had some union support from the NALC in Illinois. I think we have some of that in parts of the country like California. I think we got to expand that and try to really get the postal unions behind this legislation because it benefits us all. And I think that having this support from law enforcement of this number in this organization is a huge benefit to getting this bill passed.
It's not only about protecting postal employees, which is of absolute importance to NAPS members because this affects the people who we supervise and manage, but it's important to residential postal customers whose mail is vulnerable to crime, whether it be check washing or theft of packages.
Right, absolutely.
Or compromising the blue collection boxes. Now, I know they're trying to retool these collection boxes and sort of phase out arrow keys, but that's going to take an extraordinary long time with so many collection boxes still on the street.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a good thing that they're doing that. It's an overwhelming challenge to do it. But there's nothing like having law enforcement on the street and being able to respond rapidly. Imagine in a large city in our country, pick one, the level of crime, postal-related crime that goes on. And there was a time when you could contact the postal police and they were there right now. They were there quickly. Local police throughout the country are overwhelmed. So to get a police officer to respond perhaps to a robbery on the street of a letter carrier or a robbery at a post office or something to that effect could take a little bit more time. They're just overwhelmed with the volume of crime in some of these cities. So being able to have the postal police that are uniquely suited to respond to postal-related crimes available certainly makes everybody safer. And I think provides a deterrent to those out there that want to do bad things to employees, to post offices, to personnel. So it's both factors, not only the safety of it, the availability of postal police officers, but the deterrent factor as well, which I think is a very important piece of it.
Now, Chuck, a few weeks ago, the Postal Board of Governors conducted their final meeting of 2023. Mm-hmm. Governor Ramon Martinez was reelected chair, and Governor Amber McReynolds was elected vice chair. As you know, Governor McReynolds chairs the board's committee, which oversees vote-by-mail operations. In addition, prior to joining the board, she ran vote-by-mail in the state of Colorado. Going into 2024, an election year, how important is it to have Governor McReynolds as vice chair of the board?
Well, I think it's huge because, you know, we're going to hear it again, right? We heard it in 20, we heard it in 22, and we're hearing it in 24 about this vote by mail and whether certain groups are for it or oppose it. Now, we know what we can do with voting by mail. We know as the Postal Service, as post employees, that we can handle this. We do it. That there's no, you know, it's very seldom as any of those vote by mail ballots compromised. So to have someone on the Board of Governors that can understand that and probably explain that as criticism comes out from different political entities about voting by mail and different things like that, I think it's very important that she's in that role. I think it's be very important that people understand that voting by mail is safe. It's probably the best way to vote. And even though there's challenges with it right now with some changes that are underway in the postal processing network, which in many places are not going quite well, it's going to be even more difficult. But I think that Governor McReynolds is an excellent person to be in that role as a vice chair and help us lean into and get through this 2024 election, where voting by mail will certainly be a heavy piece of the balloting.
Continuing with the Board of Governors, two of its members will be departing on December 8th, next week. They are Donald Moak and William Zolas. Both were nominated by former President Donald Trump. President Biden has yet to nominate successors to those two. Until the slots are filled, their slots are filled, there will be seven presidentially nominated governors. There really should be nine.
Right.
Of those seven, five were nominated by President Biden. How important is it to fill those remaining two slots?
It's massively important. As you know, we've been in communication with individuals at the White House asking, why are these nominations not forthcoming? So we don't really have a good answer to that yet. We've asked members of the committee, senators, congressmen, to find out also through their connection with the White House, why do we not have nominees for the Board of Governors? And they're not seem to be getting a clear answer. So I can speculate all day as to why, but I don't want to do that because we just don't know. So we're going to keep pushing that. I think it's critically important that you have a full Board of Governors. With all the massive changes going on now in the Postal Service, I think the Board of Governors has a unique responsibility to not only shepherd that transition, but also to explain it, to understand it, to monitor it, and to pump the brakes when it needs to be slowed down. I don't think we have that right now, to be quite honest with you, on the Board of Governors. And that's a necessary piece of what they can do and should be doing. And I think they do that best when they have a full board. So, you know, we're going to keep pushing it because it just would make sense to have a fully nominated, a fully constituted Board of Governors. But I know we surely don't know why, but we're going to find out. We're going to keep pushing it.
I'm glad you brought up the issue of Postal Board of Governors sort of having a broad view of what's going on, particularly with the changes that are going on in the Postal Service. And I want to relate to that recent meeting, that November meeting, and it was an issue that was glossed over, but a number of governors made comments about it, and that was the marked decline in first-class mail on-time performance. I'm not talking about priority mail because we don't monitor that. We don't know what goes on with that. We're not talking about advertising mail. Yep. We're not talking about periodicals. We're talking about the bread and butter first-class mail. And after the November board meeting where it was raised, NAPS and interested members of Congress have become very, very engaged in the analysis of the Postal Service's performance dashboard, which is now posted online. It was established by the Postal Reform Act of 2022. Interestingly, and I noticed this, the district represented by House Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer suffered a one-year decline in performance of about 7.4% on-time performance. Now, that's worse than the nationwide on-time performance, which fell 7.2%. What do you think accounts for this decline, and what should Congress do about it?
Well, everybody needs to get familiar with this service dashboard, and credit Congressman Comer for pushing this in the Postal Reform Act in 2022, that this had to be a part of it. And these service metrics, which are out there, it affords anybody the opportunity to look at the performance in their particular, well, in this case, by district. So really, if you just Google USPS Service Performance Dashboard, so I got to do Google it. It comes right up. Click on the link. Put your state in there, and you'll find out your zip code, and you'll find out exactly what the service is. Now, here in Maryland, where you and I live, and Ivan lives, our national president, where many of the people who work in the post office live, the service is at 65%. 65%. That's terrible. And no one can tell me that somehow that's okay, and while we transition to this new environment of RP and DC, S and DC, and all this other stuff, that somehow 65% is okay. It's not okay. So we've got to find out what is going on. And certainly all of these network changes are a part of it. I think we see that with some of the issues that are rising locally, news reports, media reports out of Richmond, Virginia, and the newly opened RP in DC and the issues that folks are having in delivery around that. So these changes are definitely having an impact on service. And for those of us who spent much of their adult life at the post office, me 33 years and many others out there who spent 30, 40 years at the post office, service was what we were the most proud of, 95, 96% on-time service. Now, I'll say that, you know, there were times when they pushed that a little too hard to get that 95, 96, 97% score, but we were proud of those numbers. Now, 65%, it's nothing to be proud of. So we know that members of Congress are noticing it because every member of Congress we meet with, Bob, you and I, and Senator, we give them the service in their area. So now they're seeing it and they're shocked by it. They're truly, in many cases, stunned by the poor service that they're seeing in their areas. And we tell them, we don't give them an oration about it or anything like that. We just tell them, here's the service in your area. And we really have to get both of the oversight committees in the Senate and in the House really got to get their focus on what's going on. That's their job. It's their job. Oversight. That's why it's in their name. Oversight. So we've got to get them to start doing what they should be doing and focusing on what they should be focusing on is why is the service declining so much and so rapidly to some areas 10, 20, 30% from a year ago. it's a rapid decline in service. So we're going to keep pushing that. We're going to keep letting members of the public and members of the House and Senate know what the service is in their areas, and we need them to start asking questions about it. And, you know, we're not saying to be accusatory or to be confrontational, but asking the questions needs to be an important part of oversight. And whatever that involves and however they want to start asking those questions, they need to start doing it. And we're going to push them to do just that.
Now let's talk about next year. NAPS will be conducting its annual legislative conference in early March. In fact, the first week of March. Our delegates, which include about 500 of our legislative activists, will be proudly bringing to Capitol Hill the legislative priorities of the 47,000 EAS postal employees who NAPS represents. Could you enlighten us as to the plans of the legislative training seminar, our legislative conference?
Well, it's something that I look forward to every year. In the last couple of years, it's been part of my responsibility as the executive vice president to, along with you and others here, the staff and others, to put the program together. And it's always a we put it together. We make it work. And I think when the delegates get there, we try to make sure that they have a clear and defined mission. I think that's what it boils down to, that they have a mission when they come here. Now, LTS this year and next year is very early. It's March 3rd through 6th. So it's early in March. It'll be cold here. So if you're coming from a nice warmer state, bring your winter coat with you. You'll need it. But we'll unleash them on the Hill to talk about the postal police bills and H.R. 594 and 595, which directly affect NAPS members, and H.R. 82, which affects postal and civil service retirees. So all of the issues that we have, in some cases newer issues, some cases longstanding issues, we'll take them onto the Hill and unleash them on the Hill to get some of this legislation moving. And what I'm hoping for in the postal police bills is to help us get it across the finish line. As we drift further into 2024, it's going to get more and more difficult to get anything done just because of the politics of the election. You remember we have 34 senators up next year, 435 House members, and a presidential election to conduct next year. So going to be a lot of activity. We designed the LTS this year in 2024 around political activity driving legislative efforts. So our theme is going to be, you know, we're not going to run from the political activity. We're going to run into the political activity. We're going to embrace the political activity because that's how we get things done. So many years ago, we heard from folks that the future of the post office will be decided in the halls of Congress, not necessarily at L'Enfant Plaza. And I think we've seen that play out over the last 8, 10, 12 years. So if we want to get things done that better the Postal Service, that better our members, that better the public, we're going to get it done in the halls of Congress. That's why I encourage everybody to send representatives to LTS in March. We'll have a very well-defined program for them to take forward to their legislators in the House and Senate. We'll do our usual other activities, such as our wreath laying at the Tomb of the Unknowns, which is always a wonderful activity and a very patriotic and wonderful thing that we do in honor of four of our NAPS members who served in the armed forces. So it'll be kind of our usual program, but we'll always find something different to put into it, to make it interesting and arm our folks with all the information they need to carry out their mission on the Hill.
One of the issues, and I almost forgot about this, is that last week we had testimony submitted mm-hmm. by former NAPS president, mm-hmm. Lewis Atkins, yep. and the current Secretary-Treasurer of the Auxiliary, Bonita mm-hmm. Atkins,
yep.
in support of the Government Pension Offset Windfall mm-hmm. Elimination Provision, H.R. 82, that was introduced by their congressman, Garrett Graves, mm-hmm. from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And in fact, the field hearing occurred in Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. Louisiana. Could you talk about the importance of like Lewis and Bonita
yeah. yes.
speaking to that issue and offering testimony to the Ways and Means Committee?
It's huge. I mean, you're talking about one of our former presidents, great president, and his wife, both tremendously involved in NAPS for decades and continue to be involved in NAPS. It brings it home, though, in that it's how this legislation can correct a wrong. It could right a wrong from 40 years ago. And I think having Lewis and Bonita be so actively involved, and it really puts a powerful and a very strong message out there that NAPS truly embraces what this legislation can do. This is an opportunity for Congress to do something, just like the Postal Police Bill, an opportunity for Congress to do something that positively impacts the lives of people. I understand there's a huge cost to H.R. 82. We know that. We know that's why we get so many co-sponsors but never really get any legislation, right? We get it. It never gets to the floor. It has discharge petition, never gets done. It's really time to start getting, it's been 40 years. The time is really approaching for Congress to do something about this issue. And I really appreciate Lewis and Bonita stepping forward and writing a powerful message to Congress. I appreciate their Congressman Graves for taking this issue on and putting a bipartisan spin to it. So really appreciate them, and I hope everybody will get involved in it as well.
So I could just put a cherry on the top of the legislative conference to conclude mm-hmm. our podcast. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on protecting employees, the mail, and postal vehicles, facilities, postal property.
Mm-hmm.
Enhance postal performance or protect postal performance, improve it through a variety, oversight, or actually
Right. Action,
positive action by Congress and by the Board of Governors, protecting our retiree community, GPO, WEP, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, the budget. This is a lot of activity going on the budget, which, you know, Right. There are problems. There's a fiscal commission being contemplated that could have some serious ramifications to postal employees and federal retirees.
And what I'm most proud of in all the things that you've mentioned, all the challenges and the difficulties out there, what I'm most proud of is that we've become the leaders now on the Hill. This organization, NAPS, has become the leaders, and I'm so proud of that and proud of the people. We have activism in our ranks as EAS through NAPS that I've not seen before. So we've become the leading voice now on so many of these pieces of legislation that can positively impact people. So I'm really proud of what we do. I'm proud of our members for leading the efforts. More work to come. The work never ends. But our job here is to support all that you do and everything that you do. But certainly we appreciate all the legislative efforts out there to drive the Postal Service through legislation to a better place.
Chuck, I want to thank you for joining me on this week's episode Absolutely. Of NAPSChat. That was Chuck Mulador, the Executive Vice President of the National Association of Postal Supervisors.
And let me say real quick, Bob, I hope everybody has a great holiday season. Merry Christmas to all. Happy New Year. And get through peak. And we'll talk to you and see you soon.
And I want to thank NAPSChat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPSChat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store or whatever store you're logging on through. And more importantly, share NAPSChat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna stand right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gone.